This is Market Plus, one of three podcasts from the program. Please subscribe today. This is John Torpy saying thank you.
This is the Friday, January 8, 2021 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now, Dan Huber. Hi, Dan.
Hello. Great to be here. Thanks.
Good to see you. We had you in your home for a few sessions,
yes,
exactly. Got you so over here.
I almost forgot how to drive to Des Moines.
So
it was a good thing GPS is still out there.
It still dings. Turn left at this spot.
Right.
Getting around snow-covered areas, you don't. We're in that planning process. But talk about the dairy industry first before I get to the acreage battle. Dairy industry struggled for several years.
Absolutely.
Then the government comes in and starts a government buying program, putting U.S. dairy products into food boxes. That's really rocketed us up.
Right.
Is that the only thing propping up this market right now?
Well, I mean, you, and of course, many parts of the country, you absolutely saw a lot of production, a lot of facilities go out of production. Again, smaller type units, but every little bit counts if they're not completely being replaced by the commercial operations. But absolutely, I think it is stimulus money that's really driving this market or has driven this market at this point. I don't know, unless that was announced today, exactly how the latest package is going to be totally allocated on the food programs. But I think you're talking $3 billion that's going to go out there. That and I think some people thinking half of that could really help boost the dairy stockpiles or purchasing dairy. So, I mean, yes, that's that has been the driving force, I believe, in the dairy market. So.
Well, if I was going to play the stump the analyst or stump the politician question of what's a gallon of milk right now, it's hard to answer because that thing has been rocketing up.
Oh, sure.
It's not a cheap thing right now, so that's good for the dairy producer.
And I'm glad you didn't ask.
I know, so I'm not going to, because I don't have the answer either, because I didn't look at the milk price last week when I bought it. All right, I want to start with Nathan in Inwood, Iowa, on the Twitter questions here, Dan. He's asking, is the grain ship starting to tip over because of the many enthusiastic passengers on the bullish side of the boat? If not, when will it?
The you know, the one that's probably the most critically close to being a listing a little bit too heavy to one side is corn. In fact, I saw the numbers this afternoon. I believe after last week, the large specs added another 17,000 contracts or so. So I think they're just shy of 400,000 contracts long. So, you know, that doesn't necessarily guarantee a break by any stretch of the imagination, but it does possibly warn you that only so many dollars are going to get committed to any one single market. So I think you could start to wane the buying interest in the corn market unless there's some stunning news that, you know, really excites people to come in. So, yes, I mean, I think we have will soon be at risk of a correction of the corn market. Now, is that going to be the wipeout we never come back from? Yeah, far too early in the year to make those kind of assumptions, but it's but sure. I think we could put a cap on this for a while until we find what's going to happen a little closer to spring.
This question kind of follows up a little bit about what you said. Bradley in Upland, Nebraska asked us this one today on Twitter. Corn, soybeans, and wheat seem to be in an overbought position. When will the money flow into the commodity sector stop and the funds start taking profits? There was chatter that Thursday that's what happened, that there was some profit taking. When's there going to be more profit? When they're talking about commodities on CNBC.
It's always dangerous. Absolutely. You know, again, that was one of the old rule of thumbs before there were so many business channels. Once you see it on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, your peak is probably in there. So it's probably not a bad analogy to say when it becomes the major topic on news networks, you're close. Now, again, we can't shift the demand situation that's out there right now, which is tremendous, nor can we really make the supplies a whole lot greater for the time being. So there is kind of your cushioning effect. But that said, sure, funds, other traders will go through waves of profit taking, and we're probably due, if not a little overdue, for one of those sessions right now. So, again, sometimes government reports do a little bit funny things. Sometimes long weekends do funny things to markets. So I would say the time to be cautious will be Tuesday. You know, see what the government says. Of course, the old adage is if you get a bullish report and you close negative, watch out, you've probably reached the end of the line. So.
All right, I'm going to have Aaron do the follow-up question to what you just said, because I've had it in my mind for a few minutes here. Aaron in Ocheden, Iowa. With Dan's crystal ball, where will the grains, especially beans, close on Tuesday? Price guesses for a bullish report versus a bearish surprise. That's my question, is what's the surprise that changes us one way or the other?
What would be a surprise? Now, of course, I should state, unfortunately, here about a month ago, my crystal ball fell off my desk, smashed. I mean, so it's
that
it's
bowl just, on your desk knocked it over?
Exactly. So probably not going to be much help there. You know, I would probably tend to say a neutral report would be a disappointment. A slightly bullish report would be a real disappointment. You know, honestly, with the trade already geared up for 170 million bushels or 170 million carryout in the soybean market, which is, I think they all recognize is probably not even realistic. We're probably much tighter than that. Boy, we would have to see that more into reality, 40, 50 million bushels, which we can't have. I mean, we would have to do something to either really curtail demand or bring beans in. And I guess if there was a bearish surprise, it would be the USDA bumping up those import numbers significantly. And I think that could, that would say that we're ready to start, we're ready to start taking active measures to temper the activity on the upside.
Well, you could look at past reports. Just the last two major reports have a couple of more bullish surprises, very much so. And that's after listening to the farmer in the field say, no, we knew it was this way.
Sure.
The government's finally catching up. Is some of this action that's been happening on this run-up anything tied? Normally this week before, it's that I'm positioning myself on what I think the report's going to do. Was there any of that in play this week?
You know, not that some of that can't go on. I would tend to say that with the breakdown of the people who trade in the markets currently, if it's not commercial interest who really felt the need that they had to have coverage, the end user most specifically, I would tend to say the speculative side of the market doesn't tend to do that anymore. I mean, when it was a lot of smaller individual traders, sure, they might take a move that way, usually covering themselves with options for a backstop. But right now, I'd say the end user is probably the only one that really kind of positions themselves to make sure the disaster doesn't, back to the old adage, it's pretty safe to, a safe way to keep your job is just make sure you don't make a disastrous mistake. And, not a bad way to enter a big report like this, I guess.
I've been trying to do that for a long time.
I know, it's
still working on
limited success on my part. So,
I teased it a little bit about the Epiphany. You wrote about the Epiphany this week.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I mean, yes, it's a religious holiday and it has meaning in it, the other side of the word. But at some point, did someone realize, I don't think we can do 14. I don't think we can get to 15. Or I don't see how we can go back to 11 or 12. Was that the epiphany that you're referring to, that someone realized we're in the middle of something that we don't know how it ends?
Well, I mean, and again, I think we've gone through a multitude of epiphanies. I mean, it tied in nicely in the last week just because of where we were
on Wednesday.
Exactly.
But is your Christmas tree still up, by the way?
It is.
Okay,
it is.
Very good.
That's right. You keep it up to Candlemas now. You have to.
Oh, yeah.
It's bad luck. So, the first epiphany really happened in August with the derecho storm. Then it was followed by an epiphany on, China actually does have a substantial demand for U.S. products. And then, of course, the third epiphany came with the South American weather. You know, sure, they've got great acreage in this area, and thankfully they do have the acreage. So it's, they say they may be smaller epiphanies and coming at opportune times. But it's, the market, I think it took a long time. The latest one, I think, is... You know, we've had this very orderly rally. That's about the only way you can explain it. It's just calm, it's orderly, it's consistent. And, generally, you have to hit a point where we have to cut and trim demand. And I think if the most recent epiphany is, we better accelerate out of here or else we're going to have a real problem at the end of this coming crop year. So
my Dakota ring over here is saying that epiphany is the old way of calling it a black swan. Change the letters around? No, that's a different thing.
Okay.
All right, Phil
good.
In Dresden, Ontario. I got to get moving here.
Sure.
Prices are higher, especially soybeans. Do market conditions now in soybeans possibly mirror conditions of the 1973, at that time, all-time high?
Mm-hmm.
If so, what standing pricing order should farmers make for both old crop and new crop beans?
You know, I'm going to be remiss to compare to 1973 in the respect that 1973 was a shocker. You know, the checks and balances were not there. There was a big turn up in the amount of activity on the export side of it. you know, of course, you can go back into what was happening in the currencies and everything else at that point in time. But it was really we had no idea how many beans we had sold, recognized that we didn't have enough to even meet the obligations. Of course, President Nixon put an embargo in place,
right.
You know, which ultimately ended that price rally.
Okay, so, but I need to get now, if 73 is not the one, let's go to a new question, new set of years. This
sure.
one's from John in Kansas. A lot of money had been printed to keep the general economy stimulated. You talked about that a bit. Will the dollar continue to be pressured lower, leading to higher exports? And if so, will commodity prices follow a similar trajectory to that of 2008 or the 12 to 13? Let's use more common times.
Sure. The I think we can correlate 73 in the respect that we had a demand that was unanticipated. And I think that has... we've also confronted that here with the amount of demand we've seen in products coming up to this point. Similar thing in 2008, but 2008 I would differentiate in the respect that, you know, that was really the emergence of, we finally recognized just how big of a market ethanol was going to become, how many acres that continued to pull away from beans and other crops into corn. So not quite that inflationary situation, but, you know, I do think inflation is a threat as we move into this year. And if we have inflation as a threat, you know, that keeps upward prices on all commodities. So ultimately, and we talked on it just a little bit more, I'll be quiet at that point. The dollar is going to be the key in there. I think if the dollar continues to stay under pressure, I have questions that it's going to really continue to push down much further than it has here already. We're down to about 2018 lows, and I think that could stabilize that market for a while.
I promised you I'd allow you to answer the last question, the biggest question. What's the biggest story you're watching for 21? Is it the dollar?
You know, I think it's going to be the dollar. In fact, I had what I had written this morning was, you know, a year ago, people probably were tired of me talking about the dollar's going to crash and the ultimate effect that could have on the commodity market. And I think right now everybody, the anticipation is it will not start to recover. And I think, you know, it's in a position where it could recover. And if it does, I think that creates headwinds. Or at least takes away part of the bull story for the commodity sector.
Dan Huber, so good to see you in person and
Absolutely.
Have a conversation.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you much.
All right. Have a good, safe trip home.
Thank you.
And that will do it for this portion of the program we call Market Plus. Next week, we're going to assemble four people on a panel to break down three major government reports. Naomi Bloom, Ted Seifert, Don Rose, and Matthew Bennett will be here. I'm Paul Yeager. Try to moderate as best I can. We'll see you next week. Thanks for watching, listening, or reading. Have yourselves a great week.